Well, this morning is obviously we're celebrating a very important role that has been a part of pretty much almost everybody's life. And you know, as I prayed this morning, I also want to honor those that, you know, didn't necessarily have that motherly figure in their life or wanted to be mums themselves. And we also just, we honor those people too, because it isn't an easy day for them either. And, you know, but we also want to celebrate the mums and the women in our lives that made our lives special as well. And so I haven't been able to talk to my mum yet. She was on the phone, probably to my brother. But we will talk to her later today. We're seeing Ruth's mum and family this afternoon for lunch. And I'm sure everybody else has got their special afternoon plan too. So, you know, whether you're a mum yourself or you've been shaped and influenced by one, we all know the incredible impact that a mother has and can have on our lives. And so on this day, you know, I do want to take that moment to honour and appreciate all the selfless love, the care that mothers and women pour into their families. And before I keep going, let's just do that, bow our eyes down, and I'll just pray once more. Gracious God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that this morning, Father God, and throughout the whole day, we can just honor the women in our lives, whether they're our mums, Lord, or whether they surrogate mums for others, Father God, or whether they to be mums as well, and those that you know, have had an influence and an impact on other families too, Father God. They may not have naturally birthed others, but you know, they've been a mother figure into the lives of many others. And we also lift up those that are going to be mums one day. We just pray for them, Father God, that you'll grant them the wisdom, Father God, that many of us wish we had when we started out too. Father, we thank you for the beautiful women in all of our lives, and we continue to honor them in this day and in this generation. Amen. It isn't important, I don't know. I'm not going to go on a rant and a tangent about that today, because that's not the political platform of the pulpit. But yeah, it does get me a bit irky when we see, you know, women being treated the way I feel they've been treated lately. But mothers have a special place in the heart of God. You know, the Bible tells us of the love that of a mother is a reflection of the love that God has for all of us. In Isaiah 49:15, God says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." So if we look at this passage, it is a reminder to us of the unbreakable bond between a mother and their child, but also the unwavering love and compassion that God has for each and every one of us. And it's something that Ruth and I are very proud to do, is when we do come up and speak, we're always wanting to keep the focus on God and his love for us. Putting people aside, going, we're only human, we're not perfect, but always be reminded of Jesus, always be reminded of God. So we see the importance of mothers in our lives, and especially in the life of Jesus as well, when we look at the role that his mum played, Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, played a crucial role in his life and in his ministry. She was there to comfort him in his moments of pain. Oh, there we go, we got a picture of Mary. In the moments of pain and suffering, and she stood by him until the very end. Her love and devotion to Jesus serve as an example for all of us to follow. So as we celebrate Mother's Day, let us remember the sacrifices that mothers make for their children every single day. They give up their time, they give up their energy and resources to care for us and to help us grow in the people that we are meant to be. They are our biggest cheerleaders, our confidence and our role models. We owe them a debt of gratitude that can never fully be repaid. But also let us remember that not everybody has had the experience of a loving mother either. Some may have lost their mums. Others may have had a difficult relationship with their mothers. We must remember to extend grace and compassion to those that also might be struggling on this day. It was funny, Maria just prayed for me a minute ago because she goes, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I'm not necessarily overly prepared, because I think that a Mother's Day sermon should be spoken probably by a woman in the house." But this morning's message is actually about honoring women. And as I was just reading through my notes, God just put a little memory back in my mind about my mother and I have a wonderful relationship. And as I was growing up, I probably wasn't the easiest of teenagers. We used to fight like cats and dogs. And I think it's because we're very similar, and Ruth will probably laugh at this and smile, because my mum and I, personality-wise, we're very, very similar, and of course, we clash a little bit of differing opinions. And there was this one time I was learning to drive back in Australia. I was 18 years old, 17 years old, learning to drive. And I thought I'd go pick up my friend from around the corner, about 10 minutes away, and pick him up, and we're going to go to the beach. And so mum had to be in the car with me to go and drive, and my auntie wanted to come because she wanted to get dropped off somewhere. So we're driving out to go pick up my friend, and my mum's having, I'm driving, she's having a bit of a, no, no, stop here, do this, do that, go right, go left. And I was like, mum, just be quiet, I know what I'm doing, typical teenager. So look, I've gone from there and I'm here now, right? I'm not the same person, and there's a lot of grace being thrown in between. So anyway, we're having a wonderful argument, and eventually we go up to the round of the corner, and my mum's having a go, and my auntie's just cracking up in the back seat. And I said, right, if you don't like my driving, you can get out the car. And she said, you're not kicking me out. I said, yep. So I pulled over. I said, get out. She goes, you can't drive. I said, my auntie's in the back. I can drive. We've got an adult. So she got out the car, and I was like, okay. So she was in shock that I kicked her out. I was in shock that she actually got out. And my auntie was just stunned mullet going, I can't believe you kicked your mum out the car. And then I drove off. Now, we'd only been in Australia about 2 years, and this is in an area that my mum didn't actually really know the suburbs, because she didn't really know the streets. So then I went further down the road, picked up my friend, and he's like, oh, sweet, we're going to the beach. And then my auntie's like, you better go pick up your mum. She'll get lost. And this is where we're not similar. I have an inbuilt compass in my head. I know exactly which way is which way. It's weird. When I go traveling, I can go to a city once and I'll know my way around that city the next time I visit. It's just, I've got this weird innate ability. My mum, you can put her in this room, spin her 3 times, and she won't know which way is up and down. She just doesn't know, no directional sense. I love her to bits. So anyway, my auntie finally convinced me to go back and pick her up. So I went back to where I dropped her, and it's only one street. It's up and down, and that's it. And I had no idea where she was. Like, I just couldn't find her. And so we're driving around the streets for about 10 minutes, and eventually we saw her walking halfway to Brisbane, the completely wrong direction to where we're living. And I said, Mum, get in the car. She's, nope, I'm not getting in the car. I said, well, if you keep walking, you're going to go to Brisbane. And she said, nope, doesn't matter. I know where I'm going. So then I sped off again. But anyway, a few moments later, we finally reconciled. She got in the car, and we actually had a really good afternoon together. But that's just a funny story I thought I'd share with them. Not all sons are perfect, all right? And yes, I'm not allowed to say not all mums are perfect, but we had a great time. I pray that my sons never have that kind of relationship with their mum, because I think their dad will put him in place. So anyway, this morning, I was sort of reflecting a little bit on what type of message to speak about. And so, you know, I couldn't really actually pick one, because, you know, you could think about it, and I did. I thought long and hard about, you know, even looking at all the different women in the Bible and how we can draw inspiration from them that I can help to inspire the women and women in the church. And I thought, you know, why not pick one and speak about them, speak about their life, the influence that they had, and how we can model ourselves around them. Even Ruth gave me a really good one to speak about. She told me, why don't I speak about Ruth? Obviously, she was a little bit biased on that comment and that topic. And I said, no, I can't do that. So rather than just picking one person, I thought I'd actually just give a shout out to some of the women that are in Scripture. I've picked 15, not all necessarily in favoritism or anything. I just chose 15 different women and prominent figures within the Bible. And when you think about it, we actually probably don't often hear about most of these noble women from the pulpit and the role that they play in biblical history. I actually, as I was going through each of them, I probably only could think of one or two that I may have actually ever heard a sermon about. But the rest of it I probably have read myself, but not necessarily a sermon. And as I read about all of these ladies, I actually thought, wow, there's a sermon in each one of them. And we could be here all day, but no, you got lunches to get to. So, you know, we might occasionally hear of them, one or two, but not very often. So maybe my challenge is to those that come up here, let's introduce a few more, Pastor John, when you're next. So if we start at the very beginning, the first woman that we come across is Eve. And there's Eve there. She doesn't necessarily get the best rap by all means and figures. But, you know, according to the Bible, Eve was the first woman and the mother of all humanity. While she's often portrayed in a negative light due to her role in what we call the original sin, you know, she's also seen as a symbol of creation. She's also seen as a symbol of motherhood. And she's also seen as the potential for human redemption as well. If you read further or later on, when Jesus goes down to the depths, he actually talks about rescuing Eve and the mother of creation. Second woman that we come through after Eve is Sarah. Look, these are just Dr. Google searches. They don't necessarily depict the real person. I'm just putting the caveat out there, but it's an artist's impression of what these ladies look like. Okay, so we all know that Sarah was the wife of Abraham, yes, the mother of Isaac. She was known for her beauty, and she was also known for her faithfulness. And despite being barren for how many years? Anybody in the crowd? We've got 90? 92, yes, that's what I was going to go with. So being barren for many years, or 92 years, she eventually gave birth to a son in her old age. And so she's seen as the symbol of faith and as the symbol of perseverance, if you're thinking about a prominent woman figure in the scripture. Yeah. So leading on from Sarah, there's another woman that comes into mind, and her name is Hagar. So Hagar was an Egyptian slave, and she was given to Abraham by his wife Sarah. And I think Ruth spoke about Hagar a few weeks back, saying, you know, this is a woman that didn't necessarily want to be given to another man just because they felt that he needed a child and they weren't being faithful to what God was saying. And so she gave birth to Ishmael, who then became the father of the Arab people. And for those that don't know, it's not a derogatory term, but the word Arab is actually translated into a mingled race or a mixed race. And so that's why you have so many different types. And they're a group of people. So he was the father of the Arab people. And Hagar's story is one of survival. It's also one of resilience. And we can see here that, you know, Ishmael was basically dying of thirst. And she was crying out and praying to God. And God brought up a spring in the middle of the desert for her so that she and her son would be looked after as well. So survival and resilience. And she's seen as a symbol of strength and endurance. And I think there might even be a prayer of some kind like that. I don't know if you follow some of the Catholic traditions, is even prayers through some of these, you know, give me the strength and the endurance of Hagar. The fourth woman that I would like to share on is Rahab, if I pronounced that correctly. And so we know her story. We know that, you know, as the Israelites came in to spy, she helped them. And she was a Canaanite prostitute who helped the Israelites in their conquest of Jericho. And so Rahab is seen as a symbol of repentance and faithfulness. You know, when I was thinking about all these women, I don't know, you might be the same as me, you may not be. But as you talk about each lady or each person, you kind of, my brain goes into overdrive history thinking, going, I wonder what this person was like. Why all of a sudden this Canaanite, whose enemy was coming in to take over, decided to help them? Like, maybe she was despised by her own people and she said, well, this is a way to get you back. I don't know. But, you know, it also shows that she was saved and she was redeemed by God because she possibly did repent and, you know, she was faithful. Now we come to our favorite lady, Ruth. So Ruth was a, who knows in the crowd, where was she from? Moabite. She was a Moabite woman who became a great-grandmother of King David. Did anybody know that? Everybody knew that? Yeah? Man, you guys know your scripture. So she was the great-grandmother of King David. She is known for her loyalty and devotion to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and for her famous declaration, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay." Those weren't quite in our marriage vows, were they, darling? Close, but... she is seen as, she's not, I haven't got that word here, but she's seen for or known for her devotion and her loyalty. And you know, I think those same words echo in our household too. Next woman that we've got is Deborah. So Deborah was a prophetess and a judge in ancient Israel. And I thought long and hard about this one too, going, I would never have thought there would be women judges back then. But I was surprised. She played a pivotal role in leading the Israelites to victory over their oppressors, the Canaanites. I had no idea. So, you know, that was a challenge to me to go, who's this? Let me learn more about Deborah. And she's seen as a symbol of courage. She's seen as a symbol of leadership and of wisdom. The next person we have on our wonderful list is one of my favorites as well, is Esther. And Esther was a Jewish queen. She lived in Persia during the reign of King Xerxes I. Some of us may have seen that movie 300. I don't know if that's the right Xerxes, but anyway. So, you know, she came out and she's got an amazing testimony, amazing story that these priests or whatever wanted to just get rid of all the Israelite people together. And she was the one who got them redeemed and saved and spoke on their behalf. She's known for her bravery in revealing her Jewish identity to the king and for pleading for the safety of her people. She's seen as a symbol of courage and of resourcefulness. Miriam. Who knows who Miriam was? Moses' sister. Man, I wish I had some gold bars to hand out or something. We got some chocolate bars here, leftovers. Might have to do some prizes. Esther. I've done Esther. It's Miriam. So Miriam, yes, the sister of Moses and the sister of Aaron. And she played a crucial role in the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Not a lot's actually really said too much, but she did. She led the women in singing and dancing after crossing the Red Sea. And she's seen as a symbol of courage and of leadership. So whilst, you know, you had Moses and his brother leading from the front, here's Miriam journeying along the side. And I read an amazing article yesterday about Eve and saying, you know, God, when he created Eve, he created Eve out of Adam's side. He didn't create Eve out of Adam's head so that she could be above him. And she didn't create him out of Adam's feet so that she could be trampled by him, but out of his side so that she could be partnered with him and journey alongside him. And that's how we should be treating our women in this day, and, or not just this day and age, but all the time, that we are partners together, walking side by side. So yeah, now we're jumping. I've done my duty on the Old Testament. There's many, many more in there, but like I said, we'll be here all day. We're jumping straight across into the New Testament, right into the mother of Jesus, which is Mary. So Mary, yes, she was a Jewish woman, and she gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. In her story is actually central to the Christian faith. And she is revered as a symbol of purity, as a symbol of devotion, and as a symbol of sacrifice. Because it was a sacrifice for her to do that. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a follower of Jesus and one of the first witnesses of his resurrection. She is often depicted as a reformed sinner, and as a symbol of redemption and of forgiveness as well. Has everybody been watching any of the Chosen series by any chance? Amazing. And I love Mary's character, how they portray her character. And I've watched all of it. I'm re-watching it with Ruth. And there was an episode where Mary's obviously it's a story, but a lot of biblical truth in it. But she goes back to her old ways because she feels like she's not good enough anymore. And when I was sitting there watching and we're thinking, going, you know, sometimes we could do that. We sometimes go, you know, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, and we're on a high. But then we feel that we may not be good enough again for God, and we go back to our old ways until we get redeemed again. But what does God do? What does Jesus do? He still opens his arms up to all of us, and he still embraces us and says, that's okay. I still love you. I still forgive you. Come back. And I think, you know, Mary Magdalene was that. I don't know whether she went back to that life. I don't think she did. But, you know, to come from there to having opened arms of love and compassion, I think that was an amazing story. Priscilla. Priscilla was a Christian missionary and the wife of Aquila. Yep. Together, they worked to spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. Priscilla is seen as a symbol of faith, a symbol of evangelism, and a symbol of partnership. Then we have Anna. So this isn't in order, as I said. So Anna was a prophetess who recognized that the infant Jesus was the Messiah. And when he was presented in the temple, she's seen as a symbol of... he was recognized as the Messiah when he was presented in the temple. She's seen as a symbol of faith and of devotion as well. Lydia. Lydia was a businesswoman who became a Christian after hearing the gospel from the Apostle Paul. She's seen as a symbol of hospitality and a symbol of evangelism as well. Phoebe. Phoebe was a deaconess in the early Christian church and is mentioned in the book of Romans. She's seen as a symbol of service and a symbol of leadership. And lastly, we have Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha were sisters. We all know this famous story. One was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening, and the other was houseworking and said, "Why aren't you helping?" But they were the sisters who were friends with Jesus. Mary sat at Jesus' feet to listen to his teachings while Martha was busy with household chores. They are seen as symbols of devotion and as symbols of balance. So the encouragement for a lot of the ladies in the house today is, you know, there's so many women in the Bible that you can read on, reflect on, and go, how can I learn more about these women and be an encouragement in my life? It's crazy to think that, you know, out of this list, and this is only a short list, of all the women that I've mentioned, and there's many, many more, there's actually a potential sermon for each and every single one of them and what they represent and mean. That each one actually played an important role in shaping our faith and in shaping our Christian identity and our Christian history. Perhaps we can see ourselves in one of these women that I've mentioned, or perhaps, you know, one of them has struck a chord with you that you'd like to do a little bit more research or reading into. And so please, please do that. Keep reading, keep researching, keep asking questions. So before I finish this morning, I'd like to encourage all of us on ways that we can uplift and encourage the mothers and the women in our lives, not just today on Mother's Day, but every single day. And, you know, I've mentioned many times, I run an organization here in New Zealand called International Needs. And one of our pillars or one of our mandates is actually to empower women across the world, and especially in countries where they're not empowered. I heard an old proverb in Nepal earlier this year saying, when you have a son, you celebrate with goat's curry. And when you have a daughter, you have pumpkin soup. And the meaning behind that is that, you know, for them, you have a son and you put on your best feast, because goats, you know, they don't just breed them for food, but they're breeding them for all sorts of other things. Whereas it's not the pumpkin soup that we think of, it's basically just dirty water. And that's kind of the translation. And so that's the meaning that they have in those kind of parts of the world. And so as an organization, we stand up against that and we give women a voice and we try and advocate for their rights and provide them with an opportunity in the future. So to encourage women this morning, we can do this by affirming their strengths and their talents. We can encourage the women in our life by pointing out their unique abilities and their unique qualities. Let them know that you see them and that you appreciate their strengths and their talents and what they bring. Let's listen to them, something I'm still getting better at. I think all men are getting better at it. That's probably why they invented hearing aids, right? Somebody said this to turn down. I think it's to actually improve our hearing abilities. Listen to them. Sometimes all a woman needs is someone to listen to her. Show that you value her thoughts and her feelings by giving her your full attention and truly hearing what she has to say. Offer support. Women often face unique challenges and struggles, very different to our own, I'm reminded. And offering your support can go a long way in helping them to overcome these. Whether it's just offering to lend a hand with a task or simply just being there to provide emotional support. I always get reminded, and when we did our premarital counseling, men, you don't need to fix them. Just be there. It's not ingrained in us, but we have to try our best, right? Offer emotional support. Let the woman in your life that you are there know that you are there for them. Celebrate their achievements. When they come with an achievement or when they accomplish something significant, celebrate the success with her. Let her know that you are proud of her and recognize the hard work that went into achieving that goal. And be a role model. Lead by an example and be the kind of person that other women can look up to. So this is not just for men, this is also for women. Be the role model. Show kindness, show compassion and resilience in the face of adversity. By being a positive influence, you can help uplift and encourage other women to be their best selves as well. Remember, small acts of kindness and encouragement can make a big difference in the lives of the women around us. By taking the time to uplift and support them, and support the women in your life, you can help create a brighter, more empowering future for all. Sounds pretty easy, right? When it comes from here. But acting it out is a little bit tough. And, you know, that's why grace gets extended to us. That's what I'm hearing. I'm thinking the other men are thinking the same. Whilst all of these challenges do sound amazing, you know, I'm going to at least try one of them this week. So for us men out there, or even the women out there, just try one. Just try one. And maybe try the one another week. And if you need reminding, the podcast will be up and I can give you my sermon notes too, right? So ultimately, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we're going to give thanks with a gift of, or we're going to give thanks for the gift of motherhood. We did that by just a little symbol from the church to all the women in the house this morning. We're going to honor the incredible women in our lives, those that have loved us and those that have cared for us. We're going to pray for God's blessing and protection over them. And we're going to strive to live out the love and compassion of God as we seek to care for and uplift those around us. So as the band comes up this morning to lead us in our final worship songs, I'm going to ask all the women to stand in the house, and I want the men to just place their hands on them or even just stretch out your hands, and we're going to just pray for and honor the ladies in the house this morning as well. So Lord, we just thank you, Father God, and we honor all the women in our lives, Father God, whether they're mothers, and especially those that are mothers, Father God. Lord, we want to thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for the love that they have, not just for us as their sons, as their husbands, as nieces, nephews, whatever we may be, friends, anything, Father God. We just continue to pray for their encouragement, Lord. Lord, continue to empower them, Father God, here in this nation of New Zealand and across the globe as well. And Father, those that are struggling this morning, we especially pray that you will just whisper into their ears and into their hearts, Father God. And may they find encouragement through others like us. Lord, we pray that you'll bless all the mothers in our lives. And may you continue to give us the strength and the grace to love and to serve one another just as you love us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.